Thank you. I am glad to be with you this morning. I thank you for letting me come. And I hope this is not a quick trip out. I want to call your attention to three passages. One's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. One, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And then Jeremiah 29:11. Those three short passages, I hope, will be what the Lord will use to bring us into His presence. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul has written, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And then Philippians chapter 3. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." And I read that verse, and I said, "You've got a seminary degree, and you're not really understanding what that means." So I looked over in the Living Bible, and that's the insert that you have. I believe it tells better what most of us would understand. Paul says, "I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts and to our understanding. Now, I gave this a title, and I know it's kind of cheesy. It sounds kind of cutesy. Caution, don't monkey around with your future. But I hope by the time we've gone through the Scripture and we've gone through the time together, it won't be cheesy. It won't be cutesy. We'll have an understanding of what God wants us to do. Now, 2014 has come and it's almost gone. Some of us are kind of glad. We survived Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Super Saturday. Now the post-season, post-Christmas. In line, online, we've been there. And we're surviving. And for some, Christmas has become almost an afterthought, has it not? Almost an afterthought. Special events, Christmas pageants, Rudolph, Charlie Brown, all the airways have been filled with sometimes nonsense. I feel like the kindergarten whose teacher was getting to the point where she knew that tomorrow was going to be the first day of the holiday and she had to do something. Any teachers in here? Well, you know what I'm talking about here. That day before they get out, you know, they were screaming and hollering, and that was just in the teacher's lounge. But there were the kids. They get so excited. They really do. And you have to do something to get that energy out, productive. And she came up with a great idea. And those of you still teaching, you might try this. She had the little kids, you know, first, second, third graders, that area. And she said, "I'm going to put some music on and I'm going to let them play popcorn." Now, popcorn is where they hop up and down to the music. That gets out some of that energy. Well, it had started. It was going good. She was so excited and proud that things were working her way when she saw one little boy laying down on the floor. He was just prostrate there. He was not moving. And she said, "Johnny, why aren't you up playing with everybody else? Why aren't you?" And he said, "Miss Smith, I'm just too pooped to pop." You feel like that? This week, it's kind of done it for me. I feel like I'm just too pooped to pop. Too much. Too much. Well, 2014 has been not such a good year to some people. You probably know some people who've had it difficult. It may not have been so easy for you either. There have been things like family problems, financial problems, career issues, difficult times for us. And if that were not enough, we've seen evil pop up in our nation. We've had difficulties as we're looking and see how evil has taken over in our politics and also in our daily life. And despite it all, though, there is some hope. Because I know that some people have managed to have a banner year. I hope that you were a banner year person. Wherever you fell in this good or bad or however it happened for you, I want you to be reminded that God loves you and He's still hanging in there with you. So hang in there with Him. God's allowed us now to come to a point in this year when we can do some reflecting. If you're not too tired, you can reflect. Reflect on the past, those things that have gone right and those things that have gone wrong and what you can do to make them better. Check out your accomplishments. What have you done that you're proud of this year? What are those things that you'll want to do differently next year? And it's a time for us to anticipate this coming year. And by that I mean, look and see what God wants you to do this coming year. Do you have plans? Do you have His plans? 2 Corinthians 5:17, as we read, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You did catch that, didn't you? Not some things. All things have become new once you accept Christ and you are a new creature in Christ. He even told us something like this in the Old Testament. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 43:19? And there God says, "See, I'm doing a new thing." He's not doing an old thing. Not the same old, same old. He's doing a new thing. "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God is alive and He's involved in your life. He's preparing the way for your future. He's preparing your way for your today. I think it would be good if we could start every year with a clean slate. Well, we do have a clean slate in Christ. We might have some residual issues coming up from our past sins, but with Christ, He will see us through it. Even if we're dealing with the consequences of the past. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that. It's a promise. It's not a maybe. It's a promise. Do you remember 1 John 1:9? That's where it tells us specifically. If we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know there's one in here that knows it too, but you remember Hootie and the Blowfish? Anybody know Hootie and the Blowfish from South Carolina? You know the lead singer? You know, he's kind of a modern day Charlie Pride. Well, he is now singing on his own. His name is Darius Rucker. You heard of that? He's got a new Christmas song out. I just heard it the other day. I was so tickled that I heard it. I like that bluesy kind of music. But I like it. I'm going to share the lyrics with you. You don't have to get up and leave. I'm not going to sing it to you. People pay me not to sing it. But I'm going to share the words with you. It goes, I wonder what God wants for Christmas. Something that you can't find in a store. Maybe peace on earth. No more empty seats in church. Might be what's on His wish list. I wonder what God wants for Christmas. What do you give someone who gave His only Son? What if we believe in Him like He believes in us? I wonder what God wants for Christmas. What might put a smile on His face? Every Bible with no dust? Devil giving up? Maybe that's on His wish list. I wonder what God wants for Christmas. What kind of gift from you and me? Well, more sister, more brother, more loving one another. I wonder what God wants. By now, we ought to know. By now, we ought to know what God wants for Christmas. I believe it would please Him. I believe it would put a smile on His face if we would simply let Him take charge. That we'd develop His attitude. You and I can't control things that come our way. There are things that are going to hit us in this coming year that we were just blindsided by. Some are good, most of them that come that way are not taken so well. But we can control the way we respond to them. Respond with God's attitude. Now, my boys grew up in a preacher's home. I noticed that some of the parishioners, some of the people there, would look and kind of watch and pick to see how normal they were. You know what I mean by normal? Well, they were pretty normal. They were pretty normal. But I'm going to tell you a fictional story instead of my kids. And I'm going to tell you why it's fictional instead of not one of my kids. One of them was ordained a couple of years ago. He stood up before the congregation and he began to tell how his daddy used him as an illustration book. And he says, I know my daddy's sweating it now because... And I was thinking he was going to start telling some things, but thank goodness he had more grace and intelligence than I. So this is a fictional story, but it could have been done in our home. Been done in any of our homes. What I'm telling you about is two little boys. They're about 4 or 5 years old. They're in nursery school and they're at recess and they're sitting out playing in the sandbox. And they're having a good time. 15 minutes goes by, they're still buddies. 20, still buddies. And then one buries the other's little toy truck in the sand and stands on it. Well, you know what happened. There's a little struggle here, a little struggle there, a little sand here in the hair and in the face and in the teeth. And then the preacher's kid knows it's going to get really rough. It's going to become physical. So he says, wait a minute. It's time that one of us behave like a Christian. And you know that he's been listening to his daddy's sermons. And he looks right in the eyes of the deacon's son with whom he's been playing. And he says, you do it. Isn't that the way? Hadn't we much rather the other guy be the Christian? I mean, especially when they have done stuff that really... Well... Who got your parking lot that you've been sitting there? You've been waiting for that one parking space and you just get the person now and this other car whips in front of you? I know you say a little prayer. I know you do. Bless your little heart. A good southern prayer, right? Bless your little heart. Or your wife's been telling you, you've been cutting in and out of the traffic now. You better stop. And you know that you better stop because you do live with her. Those kinds of things happen. And you know what you should do, but sometimes it's not so easy, is it? We're to become more like Christ. Do we always? So God intends for us to grow this year, this coming year. We're to grow in His grace. We're going to grow and become more mature in the faith. We're to become, going to become more like Jesus. That's what He wants us to do. And if we don't do it, we're not developing as we should. I got to thinking. We have opportunities. And we have a lot in common with some monkeys I'm going to tell you about. Do you know how they trap monkeys? You've seen the pictures. You've seen the little videos when they have this jug with a real small mouth. And they've got that jug tied down so it can't be pulled away. And it's pretty thick so it's not easily broken. And they put some candy and nuts down in it. And the monkey will come out of the tree, stick his hand down in the jug, and he'll grab onto the candy and he'll can't get it out. Can't get it out. Why? Because he won't turn it loose. What are you holding on that you need to turn loose? What's going to hold you back? You know what the real issue is here? Most of us know what it is, and we still want to hold on to it. We're still going to hold on. Paul gives us some ideas about what we're to keep and what we're to turn loose on, what to release. He gives us some ideas about what to take with us and what to leave behind. And you find it in Galatians chapter 5. Starting with verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then starting in 19, he starts naming some of those lusts, among which are anger issues and unfaithfulness, and then some things we probably don't talk about on a regular basis, but it's right there in the Bible. Well, it would be great if we could just turn loose and leave some of those behind us instead of taking them with us. On the other hand, He tells us to take the spiritual fruit with us. And it starts there with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And He names a whole list. And I have a confession. I don't know about you, but somebody does something to one of mine, and it's a whole lot easier to carry a grudge or be angry or have just a little bit of spite. Muscling up some love and joy and peace is sometimes not easy for me. You don't have to raise your hand, because I think you probably have had somebody cut you off in traffic. You have had somebody say something about your children. And you know what I mean. What choice do we have? We have only the choice to respond. We can't control things that happen to us, but we can control the way we respond. And should we respond in the spirit and attitude of Christ, things work out so much better. Well, you can be immature, you can hang on, or you can turn loose and grow. Was a little boy whose father was an alcoholic. Everybody in the community knows. It seems like that's the town drunk people know, no matter where you live in the South. They'll probably tell you who he is or who she is. Well, this town drunk became converted during the revival. His life changed. Everything changed for him. He was joyful. He was caring.
He took care of His family. All the wonderful things that you would think a father, a husband would do. This little boy happened to be in Sunday school not long after this conversion took place. His teacher was leading a round discussion. Did Jesus actually do miracles? Did He actually turn water into wine? And she turned to the boy and said, "What do you think?" The little boy said, "I don't know anything about changing water into wine. But I do know that He changed liquor into furniture and food and rent money." Amen. Christ can change us. You know, it's good that God is more patient with us than we are with each other. When I taught 7th grade, it came to a point when I thought there's nothing else I can do with these little hoodlums over here. So I said, what we're going to do is we're going to learn about the judicial system. We appointed a jury of 12, a judge, a defender, and a prosecutor. And do you know what? After our first trial, I had to quit because they were going to hang him. Children can be cruel. We need to turn it over to God. That's what we've got to do. And aren't we glad that He's patient with us? There's a little girl in pre-K that came to school with galoshes on. Any of you wear galoshes when you were little? Was yours yellow or black?
Black.
Mine was black. This special little girl in our class had yellow. Her raincoat was yellow. Mine was black. You know, come to think of it, she was safer than I was. You stand out in the road in the rain, people run over you. They can't see you. This little girl had on galoshes, and it was the end of the day, and as the teacher was helping her put them back on so she could meet the bus. And as the teacher got the last snap snapped, the little girl says, "Miss Jane, these are not my galoshes." So Miss Jane patiently unsnapped, took the first one off, and had the second one almost, had the other off. The little girl said, "These are my sister's galoshes. She let me wear them this morning because it was raining so hard." That she pulled them up very patiently. She's snapping them back on. How many times does God have to snap your galoshes on? Take them off. He does so patiently, doesn't He? We're struggling. We fall. But we're forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I am still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on the one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you ever think that you had a calling? You have a calling. Christ gave it to you. He gave a calling to this congregation and to each individual He's called to be a part. You have a calling. I do. To move forward into the coming year and to follow His plan. Some of us are going to have to forget our past. What's really awful is after you know that you have told God all about it and you've got His forgiveness and things are going working well, you start thinking about something that you should not have done. Anybody have those old sins pop up? Most inopportune times. The devil has a way of bringing that back. But if you're forgiven, if you confessed it, Scripture gives you the promise that it is forgiven and forgotten. Greek is aphemi, it's forgotten. So some of us need to forget things in our past. Some of us need to forgive the things in our past. Something that you've done to somebody and somebody has done to you. Forgive them. Move on. Some of us, though, probably need to look up in the rearview mirror just a little bit and see where we come from to know where we're going. It's time to let go. To let God. Especially as we're going into a new year where you have new opportunities. You're a new creature. God says to each of us through Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm going to read to you from the New International Version. Notice the little subtle difference. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. There's a picture, word picture, in Revelation 3:20 that always comes to my mind when I think of this. You probably saw a painting, a copy of a painting in your Sunday school as you were growing up. Do you remember seeing that picture of Jesus standing on the outside of a door and He's tapping on the door? What do you notice about the door? There's no way to get in. It has to be opened from the inside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. We invite Him into our lives. He will come in. He'll be a part of your life. Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hope the Lord has spoken to you this morning. And I hope there are some who are ready to turn loose of the past and move in to His plan for your future. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Is that right, Brother Mike? Okay, now somebody told me that though you were the Crossroads Christian Fellowship, that you were Baptist. And I said, I've always known that there were some Baptists who were Christians. I've served those churches. If God has spoken to you, though, take this time to respond. Brother Mike, will you stand here for them? If you need to come and pray, maybe you come pray for your congregation to see what God's going to do this coming year.